I will be reading from Psalm 51, beginning in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach wrongdoers your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Save me from the guilt of bloodshed, God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. Lord, open my lips so that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You do not take pleasure in a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. God, you will not despise.
May God bless the reading and give his word. Thank you, Kira. Well, it's been said that there are two types of people in the world. Those who love cleaning and those who love to not clean. I saw some people doing this to their significant others. Please don't cause a stir here in the service, but this is part of just our DNA, I think. Some of us like to clean, some of us don't. This past week, as I was thinking about this new series that we're going to dive into called Spring Cleaning, I found some memes online. You'll see some of these here that just talk about how people feel about cleaning. They finally cleaned out my middle kitchen drawer. I don't know how many of you can relate to that. Or maybe this, me. I should clean my room. Me after picking up one sock, right? You're just done. Then, of course, our family gets involved. This is how I expect my family to live after I just cleaned the house. Fully scrubbed down, no issues there. And then finally, I want to take a poll here. There are two types of people. How many of you are type A? How many of you are B? Let's be honest. Okay, we've got some B's in here. No judgment. This is a judgment-free zone, at least for this. But this is a time of year when many of us, we start to engage in a season called spring cleaning. When we clean things out, maybe we notice some clutter. The winter has gone on, and just sometimes during those months, we're just trying to get from point A to point B as fast as we possibly can, and we don't even pay attention to the things around us. Some of you might have seen a post I put on this week. My car suffers from this issue every winter, and we don't have a garage, and so when it's raining and windy and snow and all that, I just want to get in and out as soon as possible, as quick as I possibly can. And so by the end of winter, my car is full of all sorts of stuff, stuff that doesn't belong there. And it's just one of those things that happens. So let me ask you guys, how many of you have already started your spring cleaning? Okay. How many of you are letting someone else do the spring cleaning? How many of you have no intention of doing spring cleaning? Okay. Well, spring cleaning is a time to not just look at those areas in our rooms that we tend to overlook or clear out some of the dirt or clutter that we've let accumulate during the summer. It's a time to just take and pause and kind of refresh our spaces. I heard this week that according to the American Cleaning Institute, yes, that actually is a thing that exists. The American Cleaning Institute, that 80% of Americans plan to engage in the annual deep cleaning routine in 2025, this last year, according to those surveys of spring cleaning. You'll see up here a little graph on here of some of the things according to the Cleaning Institute, which I can't believe people get paid to do this kind of stuff, but they figured out this, that 80% of people are going to be cleaning floors and baseboards. 76% are now cleaning behind furniture or underneath furniture. 75% are cleaning and organizing their storage spaces. 75% are washing windows. 73% are cleaning appliances. And then some of you are going, this is ridiculous. I would never do those things. But what does all this talk about cleaning have to do with us? Well, this week we're starting a new series called Spring Cleaning. And it was inspired by my office. We're going to talk about this over the next few weeks, but I just want to leave it there for now. But I don't think that I'm alone when I realize that this is a season, as the weather starts to get nicer and all that, where I tend to stop and pause and reflect and notice things that maybe I had not noticed for a season. And according to cleaning experts, there are four big stages of spring cleaning. The first one is to inspect. The second one is to declutter. The third is to deep clean. And the fourth is to maintain. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at these four steps, not how they just apply to our lives physically, but more importantly, how they apply to what's going on inside. Just as our homes accumulate dirt and clutter and grime over a long winter, our spiritual lives accumulate things that need attention. There's unexamined corners. There are those lingering sins, those deep heart issues. And spring is a natural moment to pause and ask the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to do in us what we can't do ourselves, to scrub, to sort, to search, and to sustain. Now, have you noticed over time that there are parts of your homes that you never actually get around to cleaning? Yeah, you might not notice these all the time until maybe somebody else brings them up, or maybe you're having guests over. There are areas that we just don't pay attention to, or we often neglect. And that's not just true of our homes, it's true in our hearts as well. And often we don't even notice these physical things in our houses anymore, or maybe we never did. Take a look at this.
First, we are heading down under the fridge.
Oh my.
We got this. Take a fly swatter and cover it with a cloth and a hair tie. Water with vinegar and lemon. It smells so good.
Oh, this is very enjoyable in an odd way.
I got you. Look at this stuff and how clean it is now.
That's the dryer vent.
Whoa, look at that. It's like hard.
We can't take it off, so we're gonna wet and scrub. I promise we're tossing this.
Yeah, I think we increased the airflow by like 90%.
Okay, next, does anyone want to see what's in my sink disposal? You guys are like, no!
Oh, okay.
I blame it on the sitter. No, stuff just sits there, so we are making our own cleaning pods with these lemons and vinegar poured into an ice tray. Magically frozen, 3 hours later. Definitely smells better. Looks better too. Next. All right, so I'm in Ford's room because the vents in bathrooms get really dirty. Never really looked up there, but we're getting them all.
Oh, it's like falling on me. Another one. I can't believe I didn't see this.
Pillows, the actual pillow. Check the label first, but I read that in 2 years, unwashed pillows can accumulate a third of their weight in bugs, dust, and dead skin cells.
Ah, I'm glad we did this.
Okay, I cannot handle any more cleaning. As much as I know my kids are going to appreciate this. Did you notice your bathroom vent?
No.
Did you notice your bathroom vent? The kid's like, no, of course not. Why would I notice that? So you're going to come each week, and we're going to get not just some spiritual cleaning tips, but maybe some physical cleaning tips as well. But have you often noticed that over time, there are parts of your homes that you just never get around to cleaning? It's easy to clean up the things that we see every day, isn't it? The things that are always in front of us, or at least the things that others easily see. And that's not just true of our homes, it's also true in our hearts. We clean the visible. We try to manage appearances. Or we hide what we know is really going on and hope that no one actually looks too closely. But there's a problem with our homes and our hearts, and that's this, that you can't fix what you won't face. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, he says this, he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves," he says. So in order to take the first step of spring cleaning, to search or to inspect, we have to do some inspection. And the good thing, it's a good thing to do, to take stock of the life around us, the life within us. But the truth is that for most of us, we don't make good inspectors of ourselves. For many of us, we aren't willing to take a good hard look at what's underneath our couch or our fridge, the fridge in the corners of our heart. We've been living in a mess for so long that oftentimes we don't even see it. Has that ever happened to you? Something that you've never even realized or recognized is in your life and someone points it out to you. Or maybe it builds up so much that it's painfully obvious and you thought, how did that happen? I didn't know that was within me. But think about this. When you're trying to sell your house, one of the things that we do is we hire a home inspector, right? These are people who are trained to know what to look for. And they notice things in your house that you've just gotten so used to seeing, you don't pay attention to at all. And oftentimes we think, Everything is fine. There's nothing going on here. But when we search, when we look a little closer with trained eyes, we can see the things that need to be dealt with. But we often think there's nothing to see here. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, we read these words, "If you say that we have no sin in our lives, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I don't know if you've ever seen any of these cleaning shows that have gotten kind of popular. Hoarders or the storage space shows. And they come in and they don't just bring a team in to physically clean the space. In almost every circumstance, when your life gets so bad that others are starting to notice the clutter or the mess in your life, it's something that you can't do on your own, not just physically, but emotionally and mentally. And so they often have the guest psychologist that comes in, right? To help the person process, help them process how they got to this spot in the first place. To help them really look and see the problems in their life. And not just identify them, but they help them know how to handle them. David understood this when he prayed this prayer in Psalm 139, verse 23. He said, "Search me, God. Search me. Inspect me. Search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This isn't just a casual prayer. This is a prayer of someone who's willing to do some serious spring cleaning. "God, I'm opening every door in my life, every room. Look behind every corner. Open every closet. Look under the couch. See if there's any offensive way in me." Why would David pray this? Because he knew what many of us have come to realize, that left to ourselves, we don't make very good heart inspectors. We compare. "Well, at least I'm not like them," right? Or we justify. "I'm not really that bad. This issue isn't really that bad." Or we minimize it. "Well, everyone struggles," would say. "I know lots of people that struggle with this." Jesus called out this very issue in Luke chapter 6, verse 41. He says, "And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, 'Friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye,' when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite," he says, "a pretender, an actor." He says, "First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye." See, we're really good at pointing out other people's dirty rooms. If you want to really make friends really fast, go over to your neighbor's house or your family member's house and critique the house. I actually knew somebody that used to walk around, and they did it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but they would take their finger and go on the top of the little door frame, right, and rub up against it to see if the house was really clean. We're good at pointing out other people's messes. "I can't believe they live like that," we'll say. Or we'll type that on the internet when we see something somebody does. "Did you see so-and-so and what they did? Or at least I'm not as bad as..." See, meanwhile, we've got a whole sections of our house that we won't even go in because we're embarrassed, we're ashamed. Jesus goes on in Matthew 23 as he's speaking to those who are supposed to know better. He says, "Woe to you." If Jesus says woe to you, pay attention, all right? "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You," there's that word again, "hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." See, if we don't always make the best self-inspectors, we need someone to take a look that can, that can really see what's going on. Not just the actions we do. Those are easy to see. But to see the motivations, to see what's going on in our heart beneath the surface. And that's exactly why David prayed, "Search me, O God. Know my heart." David knew the things he was doing. You usually notice the things you're doing. But David said, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there are any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting." See, you need somebody else to clean you, to notice, to inspect. And the standard that we use for clean is not your opinion. And it's not someone else's opinion. It's God's opinion. And God doesn't just see our actions, he sees everything. He searches the heart. So let me ask you this question. What rooms have you closed off to God? What parts of your heart have you said, "God, don't go in there. You can have everything, just not that." Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's bitterness that you've been carrying for so long that you don't even recognize it anymore, but others often see it. Maybe it's anxiety that's been running your life. Maybe it's something that no one else knows about but you and God. And if we're honest, some of us have gotten really good at hiding from others, from ourselves, even trying to hide things from God. It's like we've shoved everything into a closet, shut the door, and said, "If no one sees it, it's not really there." I don't know how many of you, maybe when you're raising your kids or even your kids now, you go tell them to clean their room, and 2 minutes later, "It's all clean." Yeah, someone goes, "Yep, this used to happen in our household. I won't tell you which child it was." The room would get out of control. "Go clean your room." 2 minutes later, "It's all done." Really? We'd walk in, and sure enough, the bed's kind of made, and everything's off the floor, and the stuffed animals are all sitting on the pillow. I think, where did all that stuff go? Is it maybe in your closet? Oh, don't look in there. Open the closet and everything falls out, right? Just shoved it all in there. That's what so many of us are doing in our lives. We're cleaning up the parts that people see, the parts that are noticeable. But what's going on inside, we're just shoving all that somewhere where we think it's hidden, but it's really not. See, when dealing with some of the consequences of his sin, David also prayed another prayer. But he doesn't ask God to help him to do better. He says this in Psalm 51. Kira read this earlier. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." This word "create" is the Hebrew word bara. It's the same word, if you remember, just a few weeks ago when we were studying Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created, bara. And if you remember when we talked about that, the idea, the word "created" here in Hebrew is something that only God can do. It's something from nothing. Generating life out of nothing. And that's reserved for God alone. And so David is saying, create, bara, in me a clean heart. You do this. Because David recognized what so many of us have failed to see is that we can't do this on our own. Only God can create. You can't clean your own heart. Only God can. In Ezekiel 36, we read these words. It says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart." That's the thing only God can do. "And put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws." You can't do the right thing. You won't. Your life will look like underneath that woman's refrigerator, right? All that hidden junk, you think, how did that get there? You can't take care of that. But God can. You can't clean your own heart. Only God can. And guess what? That's actually good news. Because you don't have to try to do your own spring cleaning. Now, at your home, maybe you can hire somebody to do it. Or you can ask the kids, or a spouse, or a neighbor, whoever it might be. But ultimately, someone around you is going to have to do it, and it might be you. But when it comes to our heart, we can't do our own spring cleaning. Only God can. But it's good news because you don't have to try to clean yourself up first and then come to God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He's not asking you to do this on your own. God can create within you a new heart. He says, you come as you are, mess and all, a closet full of stuff, rooms you've ignored for years, and come. All you have to do is let me in. So how do we start this? How do we start this first process of spring cleaning our hearts? We start where David started. We invite God in. Not halfway, not selectively to just parts of our lives, but fully. We pray the same prayer that David prayed. God, search me. God, show me. God, reveal what I've been avoiding. Listen, I understand that that prayer can be scary. Because some of you are thinking right now, well, what if he finds something I don't want to deal with? That's often my fear. I don't want God to point this out. Of course, he knew it was there, and really, I knew it was there. But once it's been brought to my attention, I don't want to deal with that. What if he finds something I don't want to deal with? Well, guess what? He will. But here's a better question. What if he finds something and wants to heal it? See, he doesn't show us our sins. David didn't pray this prayer so that he would feel shame, so he would feel overwhelmed with the junk that he's been hiding under his couch or the piles of sin in his life that have just gone undealt with. It's not why David prayed this prayer. He prayed this prayer so that God could intervene because God wants to heal it. God's goal is not to expose you or shame you. It's to make something new, to give you a new heart. It's like he's not just cleaning up your house for spring cleaning. He's giving you a brand new home, a brand new heart. He wants you to experience in your life all the joy and freshness and lightness that happens when we have a clean house. You know that you just walk into the room and you just kind of feel lighter when all the garbage is dealt with? That's what God wants to do within us, but not just on the outside, all over. So I want to ask you this morning, who is inspecting your life? Is anyone? I say, well, I am. Are you really? And are you really qualified to inspect your own life? What standard are you using? But maybe more importantly, where are you trying to live like everything's fine when you really know it's not? The people around you know it's not. You know it's not. I know in my life when it's not. When I'm trying to just put it over in the corner. I'll deal with it later. I'll deal with it next season. I'll deal with it when I have time. And what happens with those things in our physical homes? We just get used to seeing them, right? That's exactly what happens in our hearts. We just start to say, well, that's just the way I am. Or I've always been this way. But you have to face it if you want God to fix it. You have to face it if you want God to fix it. One of the most popular verses in all the Bible is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. You've probably heard that before. We often neglect, though, the next couple verses. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You have to really want to allow God to search your heart. But the promise is that if you ask, you will receive that. You're not going to ask God, please help me to see the things in my life that I need to change. Help me to see the anxious thoughts, the hidden sin, the bitterness, the unforgiveness, the bad habits. You won't pray that prayer and he just ignore you. If you search for him, he will search for you and you will find him. So I want us to do something this week as we start off this week. And I want to give you just a moment. Now, I hope that you will take more than just this moment this week. But right now, I want us to pause and actually pray this prayer between us and God. Search me, God. Know my heart. Point out any offensive ways. And help me to live my life. Lead me in the ways everlasting. So I want to take a moment. I want you to invite God in. Not just to tell you the things that are wrong, but to give you a new heart, to clean you from the inside out, and to make you new. Let's take a moment and just pray that prayer, Psalm 51:10, together. One of the things that often happens when we take a moment to actually pause and look around or ask God to reveal to us the things that are going on is he does that. He keeps his promise and we see it. It's just like in our house when we start to notice the one thing, it leads to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And that can be overwhelming when we're trying to clean our homes, and it can feel overwhelming when we're trying to clean our hearts. But the difference is that God is going to do the cleaning. I mentioned that this series was inspired by my office, and we're going to talk about this a little bit next week, but there were just a whole bunch of just junk in my office here at the church. And the other day, it was before Easter, it was the absolute worst time to notice those things and for it to finally annoy me enough to do something about it. But the next thing I knew, it was midnight, and I had pulled everything out of my office and was reorganizing it. And that's a little silly sometimes. That's sometimes the way it works physically. But that's what I need to do in my heart. And that's what you might need to do as well. It can happen. It's a trickle effect where we notice one thing and then we notice something else. God points it out. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts and shows us the ways that we need to be more like him. Remember, that's ultimately our goal in all our spring cleaning of our hearts, is to be a better disciple, to be changed by Jesus. That ongoing process of sanctification is something that doesn't just happen one time. Now, your sins are atoned for, they're taken care of when we give our lives to Jesus, but we want our lives not to look like whitewashed tombs, but to be clean on the inside and the outside. But that isn't a work that we do ourselves. Our key verse for this whole series, and our point of doing this, is not to make you feel guilty. Now, your toes might get stepped on as we talk about some of the things that we need to do in our lives. And God, hopefully, the Holy Spirit will speak to you even this week, those areas that you need to clean. But it's not to make you feel guilty. It's to fill you with hope of the work that he can do. And so our verse is Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. One day, your life will, your heart will be all that God wanted it to be. One day it will. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He does the work. He does the spring cleaning. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for being a God who cares enough about us to not judge us as we are, but to give us an opportunity, Lord, to come before you and to ask for you to search us and, Lord, ultimately for you to make us clean, to give us a new heart, to give us a new home. And so, Lord, I pray that this week, even as we reflect on that passage, that we would ask you to search us, that you would, we would be open, Lord, to allow you to point out in us even the things that we've been hiding, the things that we have locked in a closet, the dirt and clutter in our lives that we just hope no one sees, Lord. Search our hearts, Lord. Help us to see clearly who you want us to be. And then, Lord, thank you that you do the work, that we invite you into the process, Lord, but we don't have to try to clean up ourselves. You said, come to us as you are, or as we are in you, will clean us, Lord. We thank you for that. Pray that we will be open to hear what the Holy Spirit has for each and every one of us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church together said, amen.